From the Lynn to Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of January, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson from TGM. Joanna Colucci is traveling with us on the IFA series. We're in Peoria today. She'll talk to us about the CONAB numbers released this morning and what's been happening in Brazil and Argentina. And Drew Lerner will be here to discuss the world weather agricultural outlook. Look for the marketplace. Well, no update of the commodity markets as I'm traveling with the Farm Doc team today. We're in Peoria. Tomorrow we will be in DeKalb. We'll be at NIU. You can find those details and still come. Registration is possible for walk-ins. That cost is $90 there at Northern Illinois University. Look at willag.org for all of the timing, the agenda, and where you'll be coming to. So we'll be at DeKalb tomorrow. Right now, Greg Johnson joins us from TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing. He's in Champaign. Hello, Greg. Thanks for being with us today.
Good to be with you, Todd.
Tell me about this week in the marketplace and what you've been tracking mostly. And I bet you've been watching those CONAB numbers after they came out today.
That is right. First of all, corn, new crop corn, December corn futures have been down 5 weeks in a row. And we're on pace to be 6 weeks in a row, and unless we can close above that 494 level, which is where we closed last Friday. So we're hopeful that a somewhat friendly report from the USDA on Friday might be the impetus to get us back up above that. Otherwise, we're looking at 6 weeks in a row of lower corn prices. Beans have been lower 4 out of the last 5 weeks. They're right at last Friday's close. So, the beans might be 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6, depending on how we finish the week out. So that's, the trend just continues to be sideways to lower. The funds are short, and they continue to add to their short positions in corn. In beans, they were long not too long ago, and they've sold off that in completely long position, and they are actually a little bit short in beans, and then they're way short in wheat as well. So the funds are extremely short, and we need to find a reason to get them to cover their positions. And maybe it'll be the report. Maybe it'll be some weather problems out of South America. Otherwise, I think the funds seem comfortable holding those short positions. They know the farmers are undersold, and I think they're just waiting to see who blinks first. Do the farmers throw in the towel first, or do the funds cover those short positions? And, we'll probably need some kind of market information to get one of those parties to move one way or the other. You mentioned CONAB. Yes, CONAB dropped their number on soybeans down from 160 million metric tons to 155. USDA last month was 161.9. So, the traders are expecting USDA to drop their number a little, probably not as much as what CONAB did, is the expectation. So, we'll see what USDA comes out with on Friday. But even with a 155 type number, you have to keep in mind that Argentina grew more beans this year. Paraguay grew more beans this year. So they will offset some of that Brazilian shortfall to some extent, not completely, but to some extent, it's not quite as bad as what it has been if it was just Brazil alone. So, yeah, those are kind of the things that the market's focused on right now is the short fund position, the long farmer position, and we're waiting to see what happens with weather in South America and then this USDA report on Friday.
We'll detail some of those CONAB numbers a bit later along with what that total South American crop, Argentina, Brazil, other nations might mean in the marketplace. Joanna Colucci will join us. She's traveling with us on the Farm Doc team. Joe Jansen joined us earlier in the week. He's also traveling and discuss some of the things you talked about and we have been talking about on the radio for some time, which is that producers are behind in their marketing. And Joe, of course, was thinking of it in a much larger scale, saying farmers tend to wait too long in general, and that is not productive, speaking year in and year out for the marketplace, and that maybe they should market some more new crop as they move along. He's not making suggestions for this year. However, I bet on the old crop that you are just getting some very worried calls these days. What do you tell them?
Well, we've gone down, like I say, so low that I think a lot of the bad news is in. If we don't get a friendly report Friday, we may go sideways for the rest of January. But as we get into February and March, that's the crop insurance average month. The market starts to focus on acres, and I think there's a potentially, I don't want to say bullish or friendly story, but at least supportive story there. We planted 94.9 million acres of corn last year, and with the price of corn where it is, more typical type corn acres, if you look prior to last year, has been more in that 91 to 91.5 million acre range. So if we can plant 3 million less acres of corn next year, that will cut into the production a little bit. The other thing that is potentially friendly is the South American double crop corn. The forecast or the weather has changed from dry to wet up in northern Brazil, which is good for the soybean crop. But if it continues to stay on the wet side, harvest could be delayed a little bit, and that means a delay in the double crop corn planting. So, you know, and then if the corn is delayed, it could pollinate during that dry season that they have down there. So, you know, it's hard to count on that, but those are probably the two friendly things that potentially friendly things that we can hang our hat on to. And so, I guess we're telling farmers since we've held on to it this long, we might as well wait and see February, March, see what the South American weather does, and then see how many acres we plant up here.
Thank you much, Greg.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM. That's TotalGrainMarketing.com. Well, as you know, I'm traveling this week with the Farm Dog team on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We're in Peoria, Illinois today at the Paradise Casino and Hotel. We have had a fantastic day. Joanna Colucci now joins us from the team. She specializes in South American crop production. She is from Brazil originally and has been with the team for a couple of years now here in the United States. And frankly, she was back over the holiday season, just returning in the last few days from the southern part of Brazil, so has a really good idea of what that crop looks like. Thank you, Joanna, for joining us. Can you tell me a little bit about the presentation you made today and the production estimates, certainly that came out earlier today from CONAB?
Yes, we talk about the projections for Brazilian production and Argentina production as well. Regarding Brazilian production, the impact of El Niño is evident in 2023-2024 crop season. Recent cuts for soybean production due to the lack of rain in key farmlands, especially in the Central West, Mato Grosso, mean no more forecast of a record crop in Brazil. The CONAB forecast this morning, they put 5.7 billion bushels. That's still record, but CONAB, I would say, it's a little bit conservative, more optimist. Many private consultancies, they are putting the numbers around 5.6 billion bushels for the soybean crop season in Brazil. And we know that the delays in soybean season in the Central West increase the chance of further problems for the second corn crop, the famous safrinha, that today more than 75% of the corn production in Brazil are from safrinha, the second corn, planted right after the soybean harvest. And this situation could influence prices and markets in the U.S. in the next months. So far, the prices is going down because we have good expectations for Argentina in South America. After 3 years of serious weather problems, Argentina has the chance for a full crop. There are forecasts for the Argentinian soybean crop to nearly double in 2024. A bumper soybean crop in Argentina should help offset a forecasted production decline in Brazil. In Argentina, the forecast from Buenos Aires Grain Exchange is 1.8 billion bushels. That's the double from last year. And also, Argentina had a new president since last December. The new president, Javier Milei, offers one opportunity for radical change in policy for the grain sector in Argentina.
What does that radical policy change look like, and how quickly might it take effect?
So the country, we know that Argentina, it's a big exporter and used to be one of the healthiest nations in the developed world. But decades of mismanagement have destroyed the economy. Just to give you some background, the annual inflation reached 200% in 2023, and more than 40% of the population is in poverty. At the root of the Argentinians' problems is the government's chronic overspending. The size of the state has almost doubled over the past two decades. So not by coincidence, Milei, he cut the number of the ministries in half, from 12 to 9. He also stopped some investments, he also devaluated the pesos relative to the dollar to have an official rate, because one big problem last year that the official rate was 300 pesos per $1, but in the blue market, in the black market, over 1,000 pesos per $1. So it's impossible to have a health economy with this situation. But regarding the export tax, the retenciones, it's unlikely that Milei will remove or change that, at least in the first year of the government, because it's so hard to do that. They need the money, and so, but there are, they call that like a shock treatment with a lot of actions and measures that in a short term will even worse the situation, but the medium and long term, they promise that the situation will be better.
In your estimation, does the size of the crop, what's happening politically in Argentina, mean, and size of the crop total out of South America, mean that there will be more or less pressure on the global marketplace from that total crop? I guess, will it all come into the marketplace, or will the political issues mitigate the larger crop in Argentina?
If you look at the soybean production forecast for South America, we see a little bit increase from last year. A bumper soybean crop in Argentina should help offset a forecasted production decline in Brazil. In addition, Paraguay and Uruguay and Bolivia as well should increase their production too. So in summary, South America as a whole should have a larger production compared to the last year, which is keeping soybean prices low. We know that when you talk about the supply and demand, doesn't matter if you have some problems in the regional areas, the most important is the whole country or the whole South America. But when you go to the corn production, for example, there is a forecast that production will reduce in Brazil at least in 10% as a result of lower acreage and also lower prices in Brazil. So that means maybe American farmers could have some opportunity to export more corn in the first months of 2024.
Thank you much. That, of course, is Joanna Colucci. She's part of the Farm Doc team traveling with us across the state of Illinois. We'll be in DeKalb tomorrow at NIU, the Northern Illinois University. Drew Lerner is now here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hello, Drew. Thank you for being with us. I take it you made it through this first wave of issues across the Midwest, okay?
I did. A little bit of a power outage and loss of internet and all that fun stuff here in the Kansas City area for a little while yesterday. So I got to go out of the office for a little while.
Well, I know it's an issue, but that's probably not so bad. We'll come back to what this second wave might look like. It appears to me that might be harsher. However, let's turn your attention to South America first. Begin in Brazil there and give me an update.
Yeah, you know, Brazil's still in very good shape right now. We have had some drying in the last week in parts of Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul, as well as a part of São Paulo. The topsoil has firmed up, but their subsoil moisture is still okay. And it looks like we're going to turn the corner starting tomorrow. Scattered showers will begin to occur there and they'll increase over the weekend. And I certainly don't see any reason for getting overly excited about the situation there. Farther to the north, we do have saturated soil from Mato Grosso over to Bahia and parts of Minas Gerais, including Goiás. And these areas have had decent rains over the past week, week and a half, even a couple of weeks in some spots. And so there's plenty of moisture around. Now, today, the marketplace seems to be a little bit interested in a drier tendency being advertised for the northern part of Brazil as we get into the week next weekend into the following weekend. And there is a weak high pressure system that's trying to build back into northern Brazil. This is the same basic pattern that we saw in late November and early December, except it's a lot weaker. And I do not see its persistent potential here. I think there is going to be a breakdown in the pattern, and we will go back into more showers and thunderstorms. And when you step back and you look at the total amount of rain that's being predicted over this next 10 days, it is lighter than normal. But got to keep in mind that northern Brazil gets far more rain than they need to develop a really good crop. And having it lighter than normal on the precipitation for the 10 days coming up after having saturated soil, I think it's a very good scenario. And I still believe that crop is going to continue repairing itself from the stressful environment that it had earlier on this season.
Is there anything further to the south in either Argentina or southern Brazil that you've been watching lately?
In southern Brazil, it's mostly a good mix of weather. Rio Grande do Sul has done well. Paraguay's in super-duper good shape. We have that little dryness in Paraná, but they are doing well in the big picture, and we'll see better moisture soon. Argentina, just last night in northern Santa Fe, they had some very heavy rainfall. They saw totals of range from about 3.5 upwards to about 7.5 inches. That's just 24-hour rain totals, and that was on top of ground that was already a bit on the wet side. So the potential for flooding in parts of eastern and in particular northeastern Argentina is on the rise. But the most important corn and soybean producing areas are farther to the south, and they are in very good shape and likely to stay that way as we move forward through the next 10 days with a nice mix of rain and sunshine and temperatures that are going to be seasonable to just a tad bit below normal.
Now turn your attention here to the United States. The first wave has come through. What I think were supposed to be 5 storm systems, the next one is due. Are there still 5 total out there? And what does this next one look like?
Most of the bigger storms are limited to what occurred yesterday and that which is coming up here for Friday and Saturday. There are a couple of minor little systems that are in between and after the bigger storm this weekend. But we'll call it 2 more to go, I guess, that are worthy of mentioning. The first one is my biggest concern. It's this one that will evolve tomorrow night into Friday in the Central Plains. Nebraska and Kansas will see another round of some significant snow. But there is a tremendous amount of cold air building up in Canada, and there's still a lot of warmth in the southeastern United States. And the two are going to work their way together around this low pressure system coming out of the plains and moving into the lower Missouri River Valley on Friday. And this storm is going to be fed the perfect scenario for an incredibly quick intensification. And this is going to really enhance precipitation and crank the winds up a lot. And we are going to have a very serious blizzard evolve across the heart of the Midwest as we go from Friday into Saturday. And I think this is probably going to be one of the more difficult blizzards that we've had in many years. And if you're planning on traveling from Missouri or eastern Iowa into Michigan, including all of Illinois, or at least the northern and western parts of Illinois, you should probably think really hard about postponing your travel, because the winds are going to be probably 20 to 40 miles per hour sustained on Friday afternoon going into Saturday morning. And there will be gusts of probably 45 miles per hour at least. And there's going to be snow accumulations with this running from 4 to 10 inches with local totals of 10 to 15 inches. And it's going to happen so quickly that no snowplow out there is going to be able to keep caught up with it. And so there's going to be road closures and airport closures, and it's going to be a really dangerous storm. Wind chills are going to get pretty low. So I can't emphasize enough to restrict travel across some of these areas as we go from Friday into Saturday.
And then you said there was a second one. What does that look like?
Yeah, that system takes a little farther southward track. It evolves Sunday in parts of the Central Plains. Again, this will be mostly a Kansas and Oklahoma event. And then as it moves towards the Midwest, it'll stay in the Ohio River Basin area and extend down into the Delta and Tennessee River basins. And this will occur as we go from Sunday night going into Monday for those areas. And it'll be a little bit lighter snow accumulator, but we'll still have 2 to 6 inches. And for places like Memphis and areas northeast into the Nashville area and on up into Kentucky and southern Ohio, that, you know, significant snow like that is not all that common, and it will cause some additional travel issues and a lot of stress for animals across the region. Once that is gone, the cold comes in, and it just real quickly, the temperatures in western parts of Canada and Alberta this weekend will get into the negative 40s Fahrenheit. And in Montana, will fall to minus 40 up around the Canada border. We'll see negative 30s and negative 20s in the rest of Montana and the western parts of the Dakotas. Eventually, we'll see sub-zero readings all the way down through the Texas Panhandle into central Oklahoma, northwest Arkansas, southeastern Missouri, and western parts of Illinois. And all of that will occur behind this blizzard and this little secondary storm that follows by the first part of next week.
So is there any concern for either the hard red or the soft red winter wheat growing regions that might not pick up as much snowfall, and I don't know where those might be, and the Arctic air that would come in and leaving that crop subject to winter burn?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we are watching Montana's wheat crop pretty closely right now. Still, as of this morning, there was no snow on the ground in much of Montana and portions of the western Dakotas. There was even one little pocket in, we'll call it central Nebraska, maybe west central Nebraska, that was snow-free, and a few spots in northeastern Colorado. What we are going to fill all of these areas in with some snow. Now, the problem in Montana is that we're probably not going to get more than an inch of snow, and the wind is going to blow that snow around. And it hasn't been very cool in Montana yet this season. We've seen a lot of unusually warm weather, and the crop is not hardened as well as it ought to be. It will quickly get hard. It won't have any choice. But I am concerned about these temperatures in the negative 30s and negative 20s in Montana. An inch of snow, especially if it gets blown around so that it's very thin, that may not be enough to protect that crop. So Montana is at risk, but I don't think you're going to see any problems in Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, or even across the Midwest. I think there'll be plenty of snow on the ground for all of those areas.
Hey, thank you, Drew.
You bet. Have a good day and be careful.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. There you can find our daily programming to listen to anytime you'd like. Just click and play or search out the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications. The theme music for the Closing Market Report is written, performed, and produced by Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.